lifestyle, my don't podcast. Living life, every day click podcast. Purpose, dog rolling up podcast. Hey yo, Sippin' on Purple. We are back with another edition of the Sippin' on Purple podcast. Podcast thing that we don't really have a name for yet, still even, and I'm just never gonna name it at this point. How's it going, Loretta?
It's going all right. Finally in the win column in the in football.
Yeah, that makes things exciting, doesn't it?
That's one way to put it.
that makes things less unexciting.
That's another way to put it.
I'd say that's probably the more accurate thing. Northwestern won, and by a lot, and it was probably the most boring, like, watching experience ever in which 59 points were scored. Because there was just, like, no tension about whether or not they were going to score. Indiana is just that bad.
That was something. I can't remember a worse defensive performance than that, watching Northwestern football.
Yeah, and that's pretty... That's saying something.
It really is. I mean, there was just no suspense at all whether Northwestern was going to be able to score.
I mean,
they stopped for a field goal the first drive, and then they punted, didn't have to punt until the fourth quarter when they had Persa out of the game and were just kind of, you know, trying to run out the clock.
I would say Wisconsin last year, in that game when Northwestern was playing Wisconsin. But, like, the thing about that game was everything was going wrong. Like, Northwestern couldn't get a drive. They had, like, five turnovers or maybe more. Was it seven?
I want to say seven.
Yeah. It was an absurd amount of turnovers. And, like, they were getting the ball in bad field position and they couldn't get a drive going at all. The thing was, because Indiana also scored a lot, but Northwestern, you know, just had, like, seven touchdown drives that didn't last more than 4 minutes each. I think the longest one was 3 minutes and 56 seconds. Which kind of reinforces what we already knew, which is that Northwestern has a passable offense, and Indiana has horrific defense.
Right. I think I somehow underestimated just how bad Indiana's defense was. I looked at them, I saw they only gave 16 points to Penn State. That was a somewhat respectable showing. But then, you know, the fact they let up almost 400 yards and a half to North Texas probably should have been the indication that they weren't very good.
The meanest of the green. But Northwestern, the thing is, they still haven't let up less than 34 points against a Big Ten team. And even against Indiana, we gave up 38. And, I mean, sure, some of that was, you know, ahead by, you know, four touchdowns. But, man, that's not going to be very pretty against Nebraska.
A lot of missed tackles. We had 200-yard rushers against Indiana.
Yeah, and that's Indiana. Not to take away from the Hoosiers, who are, I'm not sure who they have on the schedule remaining this year, but I'd be – unless they have Minnesota.
They don't play Minnesota.
They don't play Minnesota, yeah. They're going to go 1-11. Not a good start to the Wilson era, but – enough about them, because they're even more depressing than us, even without the whole Gunnar Kiel thing. But Nebraska, on the other hand, is good at football. The thing, normally, when you think about Nebraska, or at least whatever it was saying into this year, is they have, you know, this amazing defense. But what kind of stands out to me is, you know, more of what they're able to do, you know, running the ball with Taylor Martinez and Rex Burkhead. They're good at that.
Yeah, that's definitely sort of – I think Taylor Martinez is really your typical Nebraska quarterback when you think about his running skill set. He'd fit right in with the Tom Osborne and Frank Solich quarterbacks like Tommy Frazier and Scott Frost and Eric Crouch. But those guys never really threw the ball, and Taylor Martinez tries to throw the ball more than those guys.
Tries. He's
really not very good at it.
Is the operative word?
even if he were a good passer – you wouldn't really believe in him because his throwing form is so ugly. It would take a pretty large sample to get you to actually believe in it. Sort of like with John Scherner shooting a basketball, where you first saw him as a freshman, you're like, is this guy serious with that shooting motion? And it took most of the season before you actually started to believe that John Scherner could make a shot. even though he kind of proved that he could. Sort of like that with Taylor Martinez, the way he throws, but it looks like he's doing a shot put.
Even if you look at all, like, if you look at all the comical throwing motions of all time, he's up there. It's tough to watch. But what concerns me is Northwestern has played guys this year who are really bad at throwing footballs at other people who are supposed to catch them, like Denard Robinson and Nathan Shielhouse. And even they've lit up Northwestern's secondary. I'm not sure they'll need to. Things have kind of toned down in that area, but it's still been a theme all season long. Obviously, Denard threw three picks, but he was still able to find guys open downfield frequently, and that worries me against Taylor Martinez. I'm going to ask when we have coordination on John from coordination on later. I'll ask him about that. But for now, so what Northwestern needs before the end of the season, if they want to qualify for a bowl, is a win basically either Saturday or against Michigan State at the end of the year. I guess things got a little bit better in that category, having seen, you know, Nebraska, you know, really take Michigan State to the house. But if we're going to go to the whole transitive property thing, which I think happens at least once an episode of this podcast, we're the official podcast of the transitive property. Wisconsin obviously beat, you know, Nebraska really badly, and Michigan State beat them. So neither of those teams will be easy. I don't, you know, it's tough looking at Nebraska on the road and seeing a win. Thoughts?
It's very difficult to see, especially because I think the line's 17, which sounds about right. So, which is a lot worse than any of the lines we've seen so far this year for Northwestern. I really think the only way Northwestern has a chance in this game is if Nebraska turns the ball over a lot. I think Northwestern has to win the turnover battle by at least two or three. And they've done that in some other games this season and still lost. But if Taylor Martinez throws a couple terrible interceptions, maybe some fumbles on option pitches.
Yeah, he's good at that,
that
too.
That kind of thing. And Dan Person plays out of his mind, then Northwestern could win this game. Because I don't see any way in the world that Northwestern stops Nebraska if they don't turn it over. I mean, no way. I just don't see how they can do it. I mean, they can't stop Indiana. They can't stop anybody.
But, I mean, the question is, how much of what we saw Saturday with them scoring 59 points and could have gone into the 70s as a fluke, and how much of it is Indiana, or how much of it is Northwestern's offense, and how much of it is Indiana's defense? And I think right now that, you know, the consensus would probably be, man, Indiana is terrible at football. You know, Northwestern's had an offense good enough to put up points all season long, but it still hasn't had a game against a quality opponent where it's put up a lot of points and also gotten anywhere near, or it also gotten the stops they needed. When has Northwestern played? Northwestern has played four games against the four games they lost in Big Ten play. They played maybe two solid halves of defense. They were beating Illinois. They were beating Illinois at the end of the first half, you know, pretty handily, and they only gave up one touchdown against Penn State in the second half. But other than that,
that was off a short field.
Yeah. I'd point to those two, and in the rest of them, they're just, you know, zero resistance.
Right. Even that first half against Illinois, they let up a lot of yards, but Shielhouse threw that at the goal line, and that helped out a lot.
Yeah, that was true.
Nice play by Peters, but
It's looking very much like a highly movable object against a very unstoppable force type of thing going into Saturday. They're going to put up some points. Not a 66-17 type of thing like happened the last time Northwestern played Nebraska back in the day.
That was something to behold.
Yeah, it seems like something.
I think the point spread was closer there because that was a Big Ten co-champion Northwestern team that got taken, that got completely embarrassed by Nebraska.
Before my time, someone asked Pat Fitzgerald about it in the press conference, and he was not really.
Was that before? That was in between his playing and coaching.
Yeah, he
games,
was.
Right?
He said he was at Idaho, and he had a watch party for the game, and that it was the saddest watch party of all time.
Yeah, I remember watching that game with a bunch of friends, and it was pretty. It was clear from about 5 minutes into the game what was going to happen.
Of Northwestern's two Alamo Bowl experiences, it is by far the lesser. We have some great memories of, you know, C.J. Beshay almost.
Oh, yeah. That great catch in the end zone by Ross Lane.
Northwestern football memories are about almost winning.
No.
And that was one of
them. That was quite an experience at the Alamo Bowl there. A friend I was with got in a fight with a Missouri fan. That was fun.
And it was the beginning of the Jeremy Maclin crapping on Northwestern, really life story. Sure, he plays in the NFL and was very successful in college, but I think really the main theme is just, you know, how much he hates Northwestern.
Clearly.
It's sort of like a Pat Fitzgerald in Iowa thing, except a little bit less intense because he only played Northwestern once in his career and only had really like two or three opportunities to drop crucial Mike Kafka passes in Philly. Also,
I think that what strikes me from that game is when Stephen Demos was supposed to punt the ball out of bounds and punched it to him. He ran back for a touchdown, and Demos tried to tackle Maclin in the open field. I think he probably has nightmares about that one, just about the speeding bullet flying past him as he flopped helplessly on the ground trying to slow it down.
Well, that was pretty dramatic description, too. You know, Stephen Demos and bowl games don't really go together. You know, poor guy. But, you know, because then the next year he... moving on. This is even less fun than talking about, like, how badly Northwestern is going to, like, not be able to stop Nebraska.
I don't think we're going to lose 66-17.
No.
I think it's going to be more competitive than that.
I think it's going to be more like 66, like 35.
Right.
Like, because Northwestern can... Like I said, you know, I mean, I wouldn't call Northwestern's offense dynamic, but we're doing some cool things. Like, what they're doing with Cade Coulter, who had 115 yards receiving and also threw two touchdowns and also played really well out of the option. I mean, it's encouraging. You wonder if maybe next year Northwestern's going to be running a 2QB thing like they've been running this year with Coulter and kind of exploiting how good of an athlete he is. But that's been fun to watch. And, Purcell looked great. You know, Drake Dunsmore was wide open all day in the end zone.
Even Jacob Schmidt.
Here's my question. Jacob Schmidt had 115 yards rushing. We should, like, dedicate this podcast to him. The Holy Schmidt podcast.
He more than doubled his previous career high. He was, his career high entering that game in four seasons of playing was 14 yards. And he topped that with a 16-yarder, and then he more than doubled that one with a 33-yarder.
Man.
So that was good stuff from Jacob Schmidt.
It was one of these things where, I mean, Jacob Schmidt, you know, obviously is at Northwestern's fastest back. He does run, though, and when you're running and there's no one there to tackle you, you can keep running for a long time. I would have busted out like a 14-yard gain on that carry. On the Sherman, like one of the things I consider when a guy is that open is how much yardage would I have gotten? And most of the time, it's like somewhere between like 2 yards and I fumble it, or like negative 2 yards and I fumble it. But on that play, I probably could have had 14, and then I would have taken a slide to prevent, you know, getting tackled. Because I'm pretty confident that I would fumble every time someone tried to tackle me in a Big Ten game.
Yeah, I'd be pretty terrified.
They'd go for the ball, too. I also like, we have basically Venrick Mark playing as like an option back, which Mountain Tiger highlighted in the play of the week. But he's been basically a running back for Northwestern. And anytime you can get that guy the ball, unless it's on kickoffs and he decides to run it backwards, you know, he's fun to watch. There's definitely some cool young talent on this team. It's kind of disappointing that, you know, with the best player graduating this year, they're going to have a pretty subpar season.
It is, and other problem is that all the young talent is on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. We might see Vedric Marquez as a spy again.
I cannot believe that was actually happening when it happened. The smallest linebacker in the history of history.
You know, I didn't even – I was at practice that week and I didn't even notice it. Like, it seems like – I guess I couldn't even comprehend that happening. And then later someone told me that I probably should have seen it, and I was like, no, that's not a thing. But I mean, with Taylor Martinez, who's also good at running.
Right, he does present many of the same challenges.
You are now watching the throne. Don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. These other niggas is lying, acting like the summer ain't mine.
I got that hot bitch in my home.
You know how many hot bitches I own. Don't let me get in my zone. 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 The stars is in the building. They hands to the ceiling. I know I'm about to kill it. How you know I got that feeling? You are now watching the throne. Don't let me into my zone. Don't let me into my zone. I'm definitely in my zone.
Okay, so to sort of switch gears here, because we're going to be joined by John from Coronation in a little while. I'm excited for this new segment here that we're having the podcast.
Yes, this will be very fun.
How many are we going? How many are we going with?
I have 12 names.
You have 12 names?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a one-time segment or is this a permanent segment?
It could be more than one time, but I'll explain this. What happened was there's often lots of jokes about how Northwestern football players have very nerdy, preppy names, like Drake Dunsmore and guys like that. But this was inspired because someone mentioned a former Northwestern kicker who was Slade Larshide. And I remember you in the comments insisted that couldn't be a real person. That had to be someone from the Game of Thrones books.
Well, the thing is, I've never read the Game of Thrones books because I'm not a, you know, enormous nerd.
Game of Thrones books are awesome, man. I'm not going to have them blasphemed on this podcast.
Moving on. George R.R. Martin, but Dill Grad, though. So if in
is
20
really?
Years...
I
yes,
didn't know that.
Yes, journalism student at Northwestern.
Wow.
So if in 20 years...
Way back in the day.
You see me as
a... if my father went to school with him? Might have. Probably around the same age.
If you see me as a successful fantasy novelist somewhere 30 years down the line, don't be too surprised.
Right, but so that led me to wonder... How much do Northwestern football players sound like Game of Thrones characters? And the answer is quite a bit. So I've dug deep into the Northwestern roster archive for some guys that played long before Roger's day, who he probably hasn't heard of.
Yeah, okay.
And I've also got some characters from Game of Thrones. And so it's going to be up to Roger to determine whether these guys are Northwestern players or Game of Thrones characters.
I think I'm going
to... I have a randomized list here, so when you're trying to guess, don't be like, okay, there's been three in a row of this.
The answer is always C.
Right.
You don't get into Northwestern without knowing that the answer is always C.
Okay, so number one on the list, Quentin Martell. Northwestern football player or Game of Thrones.
That's got to be a football player. Quentin? Quentin is a very football player name. You know, when I got to college, Northwestern had Nate Williams and Quentin Williams, and I was shocked when I found out they were white. Like... And we also have Brandon Williams now.
Right.
It's
yeah, a lot of Williams.
A lot of Williamses of potential.
With a football player?
Yes.
That's incorrect. Quentin Martell.
No way!
Yeah.
Come on, Quentin.
The province of Dorne. Prince of Dorne.
Well, 0-1. Here, let's...
All right. Because
we're going to... we're trying... Let's do, like, maybe five now.
Okay. All right, let's... Okay, number two, Regis Eller.
Regis. I'm trying to wonder whether people actually name their kids Regis. And I'm going to go with no. I'm thinking that's a Game of Thrones character.
That's a Northwestern football player.
This is impossible. There's no way I got both of the first two wrong. From what region is he from?
Regis Eller?
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember his Northwestern career.
Wait.
I found him going through the old rosters. I don't remember.
Wait, I thought you said he was a... Oh, I went with Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. Regis Eller. Got... Okay, moving on. No,
that's a real person.
No, that's all a real right. person. Wow.
Okay. Who's all right. Conrad Emmerich.
Conrad. You see that... This is actually insanely difficult. I'm trying to also figure out, as someone who doesn't read Game of Thrones, like, what type of names they have. Like, I'm assuming they're sort of, like, some weird British kind of name thing.
And right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Conrad Emmerich? Is there any funky spelling with Conrad? Is it, like, with a K?
No, it's... No.
I'm going with... He's a Northwestern football player.
Correct.
1 for 3.
Conrad. He was a defensive end on the 2000 Big Ten Championship team.
Wow. So, for those of you Nebraska people, he was one of the people not tackling in the Alamo Bowl that year. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. All right, okay. Two more. I'm going to try and get above 500 on this.
All right. Ramsey Bolton.
That's a Northwestern football player. There's no way Ramsey doesn't seem like a very weird fantasy novel-ish name to me. And Bolton...
That's a Game of Thrones character.
This is the worst thing I've ever done.
The heir to the Dreadfort, Ramsey Bolton.
Ramsey Bolton.
Rather sadistic torturer and women.
I had him for some sort of, like, backup defensive tackle, but moving on.
All right.
Last how many one, of these...
Salem's...
Yeah?
What?
How many of these characters have had sex with people in their families? Are we two for two at this point?
No, that's just the Lannisters.
Oh, come on. Moving on.
Actually, no, it's also, there's other people.
Moving on. Okay, no, yeah. Less nerdy talk.
All right, Salem Simon.
All right, this is bad. If I go 1 for 5... Like, there's so much pressure on me right now. Salem Simon? That's a football player. I just feel like Salem... Yeah, okay, I'm going with football player. I can't explain why I have a hunch. And
correct.
Okay, two for... That's reasonable.
Yeah. Another like, defensive lineman on the 2000 Big Ten championship team.
The 2010 Big Ten championship team was clearly too busy, you know, potentially like fighting people in winter fantasy worlds to tackle anybody in that one game. Obviously, they were also the Big Ten champions, which I don't think involved much tackling, though, did it?
No, that's I would say, I don't have any facts, but that was probably the worst defense to ever win or share a Big Ten championship. They let up more than 40 points in 4 of the 12 games they played. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, they were 6-2, right?
Yes, 8-3, 6-2, and then they lost to Nebraska.
Yeah,
by a lot of points.
Well, that settles that. We were going to also, you know, to sort of be more gimmicky, include the Pat Fitzgerald intensometer up in here, but I haven't yet. Actually, I haven't calibrated it yet. No, it's a very scientific process. Really, the most scientific part is describing what the symptoms are. But I can tell you, after a win, it goes down a lot. I don't think Pat Fitzgerald is, you know, going into the road against Nebraska, you know, he'll be reasonably intense. But with a win, he kind of, you know, gets to simmer down. So that's a little preview.
Looking at the questions we got here.
Yeah, let's answer some questions. I didn't. I haven't seen it. What do we have? Okay. What do we got?
Well, most of them are either just lists of names for the game, for the Game of Thrones game. But the problem is, a lot of these guys are listing current Northwestern football players who you would know. So
we can put more of those into later episodes.
Right, but the only football related questions were. both related to Taylor Martinez not being good at throwing football.
So. Oh, he's not, though, which has been right. established.
Right. Bucky Orr wants to know the over-under on T-Mart pass attempts, classic resistible force versus movable object.
I said that earlier.
Yeah, you did. Bucky Orr is ripping off your material.
Except I said...
You're ripping, right.
Yeah, except I said, irresistible force, because I think that they're not going to pass that much, but I do think that they'll be able to really do a lot on the ground. And I think that when they do pass, you know, having seen in previous weeks, like a, not an inability, but when Northwestern had difficulty stopping guys like Denard Robinson through the air, like I don't think it'll be as... I think Nebraska will really light it up, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Right. I think what Northwestern's defensive game plan will probably be is the same thing they did against Illinois, where they just put everyone at the line of scrimmage and the safeties are way up and they just basically dare the opponent to throw, they dare Nebraska to throw the ball and leave some guy wide open.
Okay, well, oh no, I hate this. I hate auto playing ads.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, I'm going to edit that out, don't worry. No, but, yeah, Northwestern is, I mean, Nebraska's put up a lot of points. I mean, not necessarily against good teams, but, you know, they do have a pretty decent offense, even if, you know, their quarterback, you know, is a shot putter.
Right, and they did dominate Michigan State last week.
Yeah, they won by, yeah, which really makes me, yeah, a little bit.
Less than 200 yards of offense. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any more from the question feed?
Well, we have one. Oh, one guy wants us to ask a Nebraska blogger if Taylor Martinez actually practices by throwing at the broadside of a barn.
yeah, well, Nebraska is more than ample amounts of barns, I believe. Or is it just corn? I think they have silos. Yesterday, the press conference, Trayvon Green, and people haven't played this up as much as I'd hoped, said that he was like amazed by how like rowdy it was in Nebraska when he went on his unofficial visit there, and then he said, "But now I understand that there's nothing else in Nebraska, and that's why they love the football team so much." And I was kind of hoping people would like seize on this, and I'm not sure why they haven't. But anyway, well, if that's it, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to be joined by John from Corn Nation if you, however long the music I decide to put in the middle is. So that's the amount of time.
Vamos a disfrutar el sabor de la vida. Dale.
Mr. Worldwide. Oye. Tienes todo para ganar y poco para perder.
Tienes todo para ganar y poco para perder. Mira, ¡ay,
y Omega Latinos, let's rap. English, Spanish, Spanglish, lo que sea. Mami, no importa, yo te doy lo que quieras. Dale. Sincero y sencillo, oh, y el mundo es mío, no entiende, lo siento, mamita, dame un momento, dale.
Hey, mami, vamos a disfrutar la vida,
have a good time.
Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time. Let's have a real good time.
Mami, yo te quiero, yo te quiero. Vivir la vida a la 23, mami, yo te quiero.
Vamos a disfrutar el sabor de la vida.
Let's have a real good time. 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 Let's have a real good time.
And we're back. And we are joined by John Johnston from Coronation. How's it going, John?
It's going pretty well. You know, after last weekend smashing up Michigan State, everybody's feeling pretty good.
Yeah, besides the one Wisconsin thing, you know, things are pretty good for Nebraska right now.
Well, I think the Wisconsin game, I went to Madison. I'd always wanted to see a game at Camp Randall, but, you know, I didn't want to see that game. At Camp Randall, but I think that most people, myself included, would take that as a very young team and a new offensive coordinator trying to figure out what they were actually doing. Now, of course, we can say, well, if we played them again, it'd be a completely different ballgame, and I have to agree with that. Just because, you know, you're kind of a homer and you're kind of hopeful, and at least I am anyway.
Yeah, because everything really seemed to be clicking last Saturday against Nebraska. I mean, against Michigan State.
It did. I think that Nebraska, you know, the Husker fans finally saw the defense that they wanted to see out of the, you know, when the guys got their black shirts, which is a big Nebraska tradition that normally, you know, the starting 11 or whatever get black shirts. It's mm-hmm. a tradition that started back in the 60s. Defensive secondary came together, the defensive line that had given up a lot of run yardage, you know, and the truth so far to this point in the season, really played well. They really played like the Nebraska defense that we want to see. So, you know, and the offense is, well, you have to ask me a question about the offense. There you go. How about that? Before I just charge off into it.
Yeah, we were asked, first of all, someone requested that we ask you whether Taylor Martinez practices by throwing against the broadside of a barn. And I don't think that's really fair because I'm convinced he's going to have a disturbing amount of yards rushing against us. But comment.
Well, he does have the ugliest release in the face, you know, probably any quarterback you might ever see, especially when he's trying to throw the ball really hard downfield. I mean, he reminds you of that kid that you tried to play, what do they call it now, kill the carrier?
Yeah.
With when you were a kid, yeah. And they called it something different when I was a kid. But, you know, he's like that kid that, you know, he rears back, arches his back, and I think he screams when he throws, too, you know. Not a karate scream, but more like a falling off a cliff scream.
Women's tennis player run going when he winds up for a throw.
Yeah.
I kind of like his deep throws because, you know, you've really kind of – it's like carpet bombing, you know. You're just kind of trying to hit an area and hope that your receiver's kind of in the area. His throws that are, you know, quick and out, sometimes you don't know what's going on there either.
What I was going to say is, obviously he's not, you know, like you said, he's more of a carpet bomber than a precision passer. But, like, Northwestern has played against – you know, Denard Robinson, Nathan Shielhouse, and if you're familiar, they're also fans of the, you know, chucking a ball in a random direction and hoping it works out method, and they still both manage to be effective. Is that the type of thing you could, you know, contemplate from a player like Taylor Martinez? Can he put together, you know, a solid game against, you know, what I consider to be a pretty atrocious secondary.
Well, you know, last year he had we played Oklahoma State. And you look at Oklahoma State now, how highly ranked they are. I mean, last year they had Kendall Hunter, who was a really talented running back. And he put together a game against Oklahoma State that was, because they tried so hard to shut down a run, that was actually a fairly good passing game. You know, the score ended up being 51-41 in Nebraska's favor, but again, he threw the ball really well. And I think part of the thing is that if Martinez can start out with some easy throws, you know, kind of like the rollout and the guys coming out, you know, hit him for a short, easy pass or a swing pass to Rex Burkhead, something like that. If he starts that way and gets his comfort level up, he is so much better. That's probably true for a lot of quarterbacks, that he's got still a kind of a confidence thing where he tends to have a ability to freak out if he's not doing well. We saw that at Wisconsin. I mean, two of his interceptions that gave him 14 points were just flat out freaking out and throwing the ball. You know what I mean? So, but if
that's what happened to us. You, on the bright side, in your trip to Wisconsin, you didn't lose nearly as bad as we did last year. We left 70 points in the first three quarters, and then they had mercy and didn't score anymore. So it didn't go nearly that badly, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, I was hoping we wouldn't tell him about that. I was hoping we would just kind of, like, hope that he never found out that we gave up 70 points to Wisconsin last year.
It's right there on the record, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So, overall, though, how have the first few weeks in the Big Ten gone, though? How has this adjustment been, I guess, as a fan base and as a team?
You know, Pope Laney would just say it's business as usual, then it's just another week and stuff like that.
It's a scary man.
Well, as a team, they're playing a gobby young players, and I think given the Michigan State game, you know, apparently they're coming together pretty well. As a fan or as a fan base, I think it's been people are enjoying it, but at the same time they're completely confused. Case in point, again, going back to Wisconsin, you know, I mean, you go up to Wisconsin and, you know, you get greeted by the F Nebraska stuff, and their student section is certainly lively with the things that they do, right? And there were very, very many Nebraska fans that were greatly offended by this, and, you know, me, I took it as, you know, welcome to Wisconsin, somebody does that. A lot of Nebraska fans thought it was the most atrocious thing ever, and I think that we're trying to adjust to this kind of conference that you guys all hate each other, and I don't think Nebraska fans understand how much you hate each other.
Yeah, so Northwestern might kind of be on the sidelines of all the hatred thing, except for with Iowa. But I do wonder if you guys are just, like, sort of watching the Big 12 explode and just being like, this is hilarious.
Well, it is hilarious. I mean, you know, I think the thing is last year they painted us as the bad guys. They tried to paint us as the bad guys. You know, oh, we were fine, and then Nebraska got all whiny about Texas and left. Well, there was a reason why that. Number one, because I think the invitation to the Big Ten was something you don't turn down. Mostly because, for us, I think it was a big boost academically. And, you know, if you looked at it from a pure football standpoint, joining the Big Ten from here on out, it's going to be much harder for us than we were in the Big 12 North. But then you go on a year, I mean, you see Texas with the Longhorn Network and everybody else get angry. Texas A&M, I mean, think about this. This would be like Minnesota and Wisconsin or Michigan State, Michigan State leaves the conference because they're angry at Michigan. That's how big that is, that Texas A&M went to the SEC. That is just incredible, amazing. You know,
yeah,
and I think that
it's something that there's definitely a very much, I think that's a good comparison, actually. The Texas A&M versus Texas rivalry is very similar to the Michigan State versus Michigan rivalry, where Texas A&M and Michigan State are both the little brothers, and their biggest moment of the season is playing against that one rival, Texas and Michigan. But Michigan's biggest rival is Ohio State, or maybe Notre Dame, too. And Texas's biggest rival is Oklahoma. So I don't think the Michigan State fans are quite as a level of crazy as your average Aggie fan, but that is a good comparison. The Aggie fans are just in the world by themselves.
Well, in any case, it goes back to, are we happy to be in the Big Ten? Yeah, and I think that the whole actions of the past year have really proven to any Husker fan who felt kind of like, oh, my God, we're leaving all this tradition behind, you know, that pretty much washed that away. I mean, over the years, I developed friendships with people at Iowa State, Kansas, and Kansas State. And, friends of mine have gone to school in those places, and I feel sorry for them. But at the same time, you're kind of like, well, you know, the door didn't hit me in the ass. So,
I guess what I'm curious about, my question to you is, right now, Nebraska, only one loss, you know, presumptive, champions of the division, probably going to go to the Big Ten championship game. Where do you think this team would be in the Big 12 right now, with some of the teams in that conference? Just this is a pretty annoying question. But,
wow, it is. I haven't even thought about it.
Because, like, right now, like...
You're asking me about my ex-wife or something.
Oh, man. but the thing is...
I don't have an ex-wife, so I don't really know where you come from.
But it's better... I think you've moved on to better things, because... Like, you came in, and in your first year, it's looking pretty good for Nebraska.
That is true.
Right.
Although I think Michigan State actually probably would be the favorite, because they have a much easier schedule than we do the rest of the way out. And we just have to go to Michigan and Penn State, so...
We'll prevent you from having to talk about your ex-wife and switch the topic.
No, it's actually very easy. I would say this. If we were in the Big 12, we would be slaughtering everybody by 30 points a game, and they would score nothing. We would have like a 7-game no scoring the entire year.
It was a tough breakup, huh?
yeah. A lot of weeping.
Yeah. but I guess where in that season right now, in the actual season, not the – flash sideways timeline. Where's what do you see from Northwestern, not having played Northwestern in 11 years, the last time it didn't go well for Northwestern in the Alamo Bowl before my time. Any fear whatsoever in any Nebraska fans?
Well, I think we feel like, okay, we just had a big win and you don't want to have an emotional letdown. I guess what I'd ask you, the guys, this, I do a Nebraska football yearbook, and when I looked at Northwestern coming into the season, I thought, they have a fairly experienced team. Dan Persa was a big part of it, and you lost Trumpy, your running back, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, now you guys have gone on you're not doing well. What happened?
Well, if you...
Defense. It really can be summarized by defense. I mean, we've let up 34-plus points in all 5 Big Ten games. It's not a recipe to win games. That's pretty much what it comes down to. We just can't stop people, especially in the secondary. So.
And there were some blown leads. Northwestern has been in games against ranked teams with big leads. Well, not big leads. 18 against, Illinois blew that. 10 against Michigan, blew that, which isn't really saying that much. But Northwestern is 1-4 right now in the conference, and the games haven't been lopsided. They've been all of them. And I guess we'll see if that stays, true against, number 10 Nebraska on the road in Memorial Stadium, where I hear it's loud there.
the thing about Nebraska is, just so you know this, our student section is small because the athletic department really wants to sell tickets to old people who have more money. So they take the students and they stick them way up in a corner in the stadium. So it's only really loud. I hate to say this, and I'll say it publicly and probably get in trouble for it, but Memorial Stadium can be really loud if we're in a game where we have to win and it's bloody and you know what I mean. God, I just insulted the hell out of you guys.
Don't worry. Yeah, no, well.
No, we're used to, I mean, we can't even, like, these problems with attendance of having too many students that want to go to the games. At Northwestern, we have some pretty serious attendance issues.
So. You guys, you might have heard, like, the stereotypes, you know, about Northwestern football. You know, we're all, you know, lame nerds who, you know, don't care about sports and we're always bad. They're not, and no one goes to the games. They're not as true as people make them out to be, but. Yeah, they all have a vein of truth, and Northwestern will not be a marquee opponent, even if I think we were, you know, if this season had turned out the way it looked like it might, and you'd won two or three of the games that we ended up losing. Yeah, we're not going to be filling up. You know, Nebraska has this habit of filling up opposing stadiums.
Yeah.
There'll be a little nothing, basically, in Memorial Stadium Saturday. I thought about going, and it's 8 hours.
What you're saying is next year we can just take over Evanston.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean,
Well, that's there was sort of classics. This was maybe four or five years back, and it was the day that Northwestern football put their tickets on sale, and their athletic director was out talking. He's like, "Yeah, we got more excitement than usual. We got some people camping out this year." Granted, it's all Ohio State fans from when we host them, but hey, at least somebody showed up to camp for tickets.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, we're not putting out a good showing right now for our new conference.
Last time we played Ohio State at home, there were probably more Ohio State fans there than Northwestern fans. Sign that said like the Ohio State guy had a sign that said our seventh home game or something like that. So yeah, I was kind of embarrassed.
If we played them now, it'd be like half and half. So this is what you're dealing with.
Attendance is getting a little better.
Yeah, it's sort of trending upwards, and the football team had for a while, and then this year happened, and things aren't doing too well. Is there any like aspect of the maybe of Northwestern that you know, like, you've been looking at things. I know you said we had a lot of experience, and that hasn't really panned out. Then you turned it on us and made us talk about how depressing we are. but anything strike you as, you know, frightening about Northwestern?
You guys have had a lot of injuries, haven't you?
I'll take that as a no.
You're being quarterback, and then you lost Trumpy.
Well, Purse is healthy.
Yeah. Purse is back, although he's not quite as good as he used to be. Mm-hmm. And the loss of Trumpy isn't really that huge a deal. I mean, he was the best guy, but the guys behind him aren't really. It's
miles
not like
worse.
What would happen if Nebraska lost Rex Burkhead or someone like that. Trumpy wasn't exactly an all-conference caliber performer.
Yeah, and another thing, with the defense, Nebraska's defense, I'm sort of curious about, you know, obviously, you know, we know the whole black shirts thing. And that looked a little bit shaky, kind of getting. Obviously, there were turnovers, but, you know, getting, you know, sort of, you know, handled by Wisconsin. But has that completely turned around with the whole, you know, you guys dominated Michigan State last week? How terrifying should the Nebraska defense seem?
Well, I'll put it this way. I mean, I think I wrote this earlier today. Earlier this season, I mean, we were ranked 78th in pass defense. And since then, I mean, right now we're ranked 12th nationally in pass defense. So, you know, part of that is the return of Alfonso Denard, who was out for the beginning of the season, that, you know, first-round draft pick potential, All-American potential cornerback. He put on a show last week. They stopped B.J. Cunningham's 41-game reception streak. He ended up with nothing, and a lot of that had to do with Denard just covering him like a blanket. But the other thing is that we started this season playing a lot of really young defensive secondary players, and I think they were looking for the right combination. And, you know, I mean, last week isn't, you know, one game isn't a sample size enough to go, oh, my God, we found it in all our problems are solved, but it's certainly a, you know, the fact that the yardage and stuff is going down every week, it looks like they're putting the pieces together. So, honestly, I think, you know, our defense has come back together. I think our defense is probably not 100% where we want it to be, but it's pretty, it's getting there, and it's pretty good.
So it's
much better than, you know, when you saw Nick Toon being chased in the end zone by four guys that couldn't catch him, I don't think you might see that again in a breakdown, but that won't be in the Nebraska defense you'll see for the rest of the season.
It sounds like we picked a bad time to play Nebraska. But moving on. So if you had to, it's early in the week, but if you had to venture a prediction, I guess what are you looking at for Saturday?
56-17 Nebraska.
Wow, that's hateful.
Wow.
That's hateful.
It's
just
hateful.
Not nice.
But I have to tell you guys, though, one thing you have to understand about Nebraska fans is, and maybe like Wisconsin is close to us, I don't know, but Bo Pelini a few weeks back said, if Nebraska isn't winning 50-0 at some point, Nebraska fans aren't happy. And he was exactly correct. We will pile points on people when we can, and people will be angry, and they will still want them to score more and more. It's just this amazing expectation level. Hateful, wasn't it?
So you're horrible people. But besides that, at least you gave us 14 more points than Michigan State.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
We got some garbage time.
I don't know if I expect you to get it.
Jesus. Give us something. Loretta, any thoughts? Do you agree, disagree?
I don't think it'll be quite that ugly. I think Northwestern will be able to move the ball at times. I think, especially with how quickly Nebraska is probably going to be scoring, Northwestern will probably get in the end zone a few times. But I'd say something like 49-24, maybe.
Yeah, I would be in that range. I haven't, you know, put up my official thing, but I think Northwestern will score some points. Nebraska does have a very, very good defense, but, you know, I just remember looking at someone asked me to pick the defensive player of the year earlier in the season, and, you know, it was really just a crapshoot of, you know, Nebraska, you know, players. So, you know, I still think Northwestern put up points. You know, that sounds about right. I'd go with something like 45, you know, 21 or something like that. But, yeah, I guess we're all kind of in agreement that, you know, it might not be pretty. But I guess that's that. And welcome to the Big Ten / enjoy your first Northwestern experience. And thanks for coming on, John.
Sure. Me.
Yeah, and man, we're not always this depressing. You know, come see us when we're doing well, and we'll, you know, people will come to the games, and, you know, we won't admit gigantic defeat. But right now, I kind of have to. So that's that.
I will say this about joining the Big Ten. The one, you know, I kind of, we have an article on our website today about what's missing from our football season. And really what's missing from our football season is we don't hate any of you people. And I find that so sad. If you had to say something about switching conferences, it is so sad that we cannot really hate you guys. You know what I mean? Because there's so much passion and hatred of sports, you know, with your opponents. So this week I'm going to manufacture things to hate about Northwestern.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're made up.
Well, you know, so like, guess what? We're at you. Deal with it. You guys are UNL.
Yeah, that's true. You're stealing our NU game.
Yeah, I went there. I went there, and I'm not coming back. I'm keeping it. I'm planting my flag on this one. I'm going to give you at least – you're challenging me right now, and what you're saying is you have 3 days to give me a reason to hate you, and I guarantee you I could do that. And I'm calling out all of my readers to help me out on this one, not because we're not nice people, but because – you're asking us to. We're doing you a favor.
That's true. That's true. I am asking.
So, Northwestern fans, for Nebraska's sake, because we're good people and good neighbors, let's make them hate us. And thanks for giving us the idea. And again, thanks for joining us.
Sure. You guys take care.
All right. See ya. All right. Let me... And thanks for listening. I probably should have said that also.